D.L. Moody, he made a simple but really important comment. He said, if I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. And that's just true. It's one way or the other.
Can two walk together except they be agreed? Pastor Brett Metter with the answer in today's Word.
That's the key. We need to walk in His ways. And where do we have His commandments? Right here in His Word. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you.
Amos chapter 3, verse 3 proposes a simple question to the people to cause them to consider their walk with God and whether they're actually doing it or not. As Pastor Brett Metter digs into what walking with the Lord looks like, we're challenged to consider Amos's question and examine our own walk as well. That's coming up as we begin a new study series in today's Word. And we're so glad you're with us as we continue in this Minor Prophets series, which are the last 12 books of the Old Testament. This time we're in the book of Amos. And Pastor Brett has joined me. Brett, these prophets were God's messengers, so to speak, to the nation of Israel. Why are these writings of these prophets so important for us today?
Well, Kirk, that's just a great question, because there's a temptation for modern day churches to say, you know, we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. Yeah. I've heard that exact phrase, and what a mistake, you know, because the question you ask really gets to the heart of why we study the whole Old Testament as well as the prophets. Even though Amos and the other minor prophets were written thousands of years ago, their message is really a timeless message. And some people say, well, it's for the Jews, right? But what a beautiful picture, you know, for us. We can learn from those pictures. Amos was a shepherd, a farmer. He wasn't a professional prophet. And yet God called him to speak truth to a nation that had grown overly comfortable and massively corrupt, you know, and Israel was prospering, but spiritually they were drifting. And if that doesn't look familiar to Americans, you know, we're the same exact nation. We drift and we're prosperous, but it should cause us concern when Amos boldly declares to the Jews in Amos 5:24, he says, let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. You know, that really is something we have to know, that the Lord is righteous and his judgment is coming. And God was preparing the people of Israel through Amos to repent and turn to the Lord. And it's the same message we really need to hear today. So, you know, those prophets, Amos included, just really help us examine our own lives. And it's like looking in a mirror to see how we're doing with the Lord.
Oh, thank you for that introduction, Brett. And why don't we jump right into the book of Amos now? And here again is Pastor Brett Metter.
Why don't you turn to the book of Amos? I've got a simple verse, a simple study, but a good reminder. And something that's good to meditate on and think about, it's here in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This is a rhetorical question the prophet Amos is raising. Now, Amos was just a normal dude. He was a shepherd. Just south of Jerusalem is where he was raised. But the Lord called him out of his shepherding, and he went up to shepherd the northern 10 tribes of Israel. He was a contemporary with Hosea. Maybe they were buddies. Hosea the prophet. But Amos goes up and he has some words, and he starts out swinging hard there in chapter 1 and what have you. But here in chapter 3, he really raises these interesting rhetorical questions. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And in this section, Amos connects six sort of questions or statement questions that are obvious and true. Like, of course, that's right. And that's what Amos is doing. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Oh, you see that beautiful scene of the beach and the young couple walking on the beach as they're hand in hand walking, you know, oh, they're so, you know, in love. And then suddenly they kind of stop and turn and face each other, and you can tell they're talking, and then you see her stomp her foot and you're like, oh, and then you see her turn around and go the other way, and he walks the other way. You know what happened? Disagreement. You don't even have to be very smart to figure that one out. They just disagreed, so they're no longer walking together, and they blew up the picture. The problem is, if you could picture that, that's what Israel had done with the Lord. And that's what humanity tends to do with the Lord. Can two walk together? See, that's the problem. Amos is talking about the relationship that Israel has with the Lord. And because of disagreement, they're not walking with the Lord. That's the problem. That's one of the indictments this prophet is going to give to the children of Israel. Now, this idea of walking with the Lord is something that's all throughout the Bible. It's a major theme that the Lord wants you and me to have a walk. And this is one of those things we have to be careful of. You know, we can talk, if we're not careful, we can talk Christianese. And people that are new to the Bible are like, what does it mean to, you know, walk? Sometimes, oh, you just need to walk in the Spirit. Well, what in the world does that mean? Walking in the Spirit. That sounds like something, you know, Casper or something. What's the Spirit? I don't get that. Well, we got to be careful about that. So this idea of the walk, the Christian walk, first of all, a walk is a implication of steady progress. It's not a sprint. It's not even a marathon. It's just a walk. But that's what the Lord asks, that you and I have a walk, a steady, progressive walk with the Lord. And this little verse here in Amos 3:3 tells us kind of the thing. If you're going to walk with the Lord, the first thing we have to understand is there needs to be agreement. And if we have agreement with the Lord, then we can walk with the Lord. And that, so we have kind of an interesting tidbit of truth tucked away in this single little verse. Now, there's some famous people in the Bible who had a walk with the Lord, and they were noted as having such a thing. The first one is, I would say, maybe Noah is a great example. There in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Okay, and he did that, by the way, for hundreds of years. Remember in the antediluvian world, how people lived, you know, close to 900 years kind of thing. And so Noah, he just had a walk. He was steady progress with the Lord, just walking with the Lord. And Noah goes down as a famous one. Who's another famous guy in the Bible who walked with God? Enoch. Enoch might be the most famous because, in the sense, there's not much we know about Enoch. There's very little said about Enoch in the Bible, except for this, he walked with the Lord. In the Old Testament, there's a couple sentences that says, Enoch walked with the Lord. And then in the New Testament, it says, he walked with the Lord and he pleased the Lord. So that's all we know about Enoch. He walked with the Lord and pleased the Lord. We know he was a prophet, but we have very little to know about what he... You say, well, Brett, I read the book of Enoch. It should be in the Bible. That's not true. The book of Enoch is not in the Bible because it's not the Bible. It didn't make the canon of Scripture. But he was a guy who walked with the Lord. He gets that commendation in the Bible. And then if you look at the verse there in Genesis chapter 5, it says, and Enoch walked with God, it says there. And then it says, and he was not, for God took him. That's a funny phrase. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What does that mean? Well, when you put it all together, here's this guy who walked with the Lord and pleased the Lord. And so the Lord said, I want you in heaven with me. So he took him. Enoch didn't see death. He was just taken up into heaven. You might say he was raptured. The reason I say that is because I believe it's a beautiful picture of the rapture of the church. Remember how God was going to pour out his wrath on the world with a flood? And Noah and his family would have to go through the flood. I think Noah and his family is a picture of the Jews, even as the Jews who largely reject the true and living God, his Savior, Jesus. During the tribulation, the Jews will be saved, just like Noah and his family were saved. But they're going to go through that tribulation period, just like Noah went through it. But right before the flood, what happens? The Lord, there's this one guy who just pleases the Lord so much that he just takes him up and sort of raptures him. That's what it means there when it says, and he was not. Remember in the 80s, there was kind of a thing where people would say, not. I think you're a really nice person. I like you. Not. Remember that? We used to think that was funny. And you think, is that what's going on here with Enoch? He walked with God. Not. No. It means that he was taken up. The Lord just took him and raptured him. By the way, have you ever wondered? I've wondered this a lot, you know, because I've done a lot of funerals. And those funerals where you kind of get a sense from a worldly human perspective that, oh, this person was taken so early. But there's been many times that I've done a funeral, and you don't really want to say this necessarily because it might hurt feelings or, but sometimes I wonder if the Lord took the person because he just really wanted them in heaven. Like if the Lord just said, you know, I'm sorry, everybody on earth, you got this amount of time with your loved one, but I want that person in heaven right now. And you say, well, who is God to take our loved one? He's God. Hello. and that's what happens with Enoch. Enoch's just walking with the Lord, pleasing the Lord, and the Lord says, man, I want him right up here in heaven. So boom, takes him up. Just like the church, before the wrath is poured out in the tribulation period, the church, you and I, are going to be taken up and raptured just like Enoch. Well, anyway, he was a guy famous, and probably the most famous thing we know about Enoch is he walked with the Lord, and he had that steady, progressive walk. And so this question here, you know, can two walk together unless they be agreed? It brings a couple questions about what does a walk look like and how do we do it? In order to have a biblical walk with the Lord, you have to have, number one, a sanctified walk. And this is an important thing. The small little verse sort of causes me to ponder these things. What is a real Christian walk look like? Well, first of all, it's sanctified. Now again, sanctified is a Christianese word, but it means something fairly simple. It means to be set apart. It's kind of an interesting word, to be sanctified and being set apart, separated from sin, but also separated unto God. If you're a sanctified person, you are set apart for God's purposes. And it implies a lot of things, being pure, holy, walking with the Lord is to live a life that is an acceptable offering set aside for the Lord. Another word the Bible uses sometimes is consecrated. Consecrated, set aside, set apart for God's use, for serving him. And that's what this walk needs to be, a sanctified walk. This idea of being set apart, being pure and holy. During the time of Amos, we're gonna see something that's kind of crazy. There was a group of young men that were wanting to be sanctified during the days of Amos. Let's see if you remember who these guys were. The first thing I'll tell you is they were not supposed to touch any dead thing. The Nazarite, remember the Nazarite? Don't touch any dead thing, don't let your hair be cut, don't eat or raisins or go into a vineyard or even have any wine or anything like that. They'd walk around with these big hairdos because they'd let their hair grow and everybody's like, oh, there's a Nazarite, set apart for God's purpose. But Amos is gonna kind of condemn the people of Israel because of this. They'll say, you're taking your Nazarites and you're pouring alcohol down their throats. It's like these guys wanted to be set apart, but the people wouldn't let them be set apart. That's how bad it got during the time of Amos. And so this idea of a walk, this is why Amos is saying, people of Israel, you have no walk with the Lord. You're not set apart or sanctified, set apart. Now, Adam and Eve were another famous couple in the Bible that had a walk with the Lord. When did Adam and Eve walk with the Lord? Anybody remember? In the cool of the day. Remember that? The Bible says they walked during the cool. That means probably in the morning time. You know, Adam and Eve had this really cool, can you imagine before the fall, the sin, what that was like? Getting up in the morning and Adam and Eve, you know, had a little cup of coffee and go for a walk with God. Just a little walk in the morning with the Lord. That was the state before the sin was brought into this world. But do you remember that very day when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was the original sin there, where they sinned against the Lord? What happened to their little daily walk? Well, God shows up to go and see him like they always did. And guess what? They're nowhere to be found. They're hiding in the bushes. They realized in their sinful thing that they were naked and they were ashamed and they went and hid in the bushes. And the Lord comes to the earth and he says, Adam, where are you? Now, don't be confused. God didn't lose the two people he had on the planet. What did I do with those people? Oh yeah, somewhere in the Middle East. No, it wasn't that, no. In a way, God was saying, Adam, where are you at, man? What are you doing? What's going on with you? You're hiding there. And God knows exactly what happened. God's giving Adam a chance to confess what he had done. But the sad thing is, that's what blew it all up, is sin. See, that's what it means to be, you know, have a sanctified walk. It means to be set apart from sin. And when you and I have sin in our lives, unconfessed, undealt with sin, your walk with the Lord will be sort of, you know, blown up just like Adam and Eve. Oh, there's so many scriptures, and probably the most classic is what Isaiah the prophet tells us, of course, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If you feel like you want to have a walk with the Lord, but your walk has sort of been distanced, or, you know, kind of you feel like it's gone cold somehow, one of the first things you gotta check is, Lord, is there unconfessed sin in my life? It's like the psalmist, when the psalmist said, oh Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in your way everlasting. You know, there's a point where you have to kind of say, Lord, what's the sin I'm doing that I don't even know about? Search my heart, oh Lord, because you wanna have a sanctified life. You don't wanna let sin just go unchecked in your life, because that snips off that relationship, that walk that you can have with the Lord, and it's troubling. And the problem is, that's the way the magnet pulls with humanity, to pull us away from God towards sin. That's our flesh that just wants to gravitate toward, you know, sinful stuff. In 2 Corinthians, there's kind of a Paul New Testament version of the same thing. And he says there, and this is one that you've heard, you know, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Does that mean you worked out really hard and you're yoked, man? Is that what it is? No. Yoked is a farm term of two oxen being yoked together with the yoke that evenly disperses the weight on the shoulders of the oxen as they're pulling the cart or the plow or whatever they're pulling. And the yoke had to be carefully formed, because if you were unequally yoking oxen together, it wouldn't work. You can't really pull heavy weight. And if you let an unequally yoked team of oxen go, eventually the weaker ox will be crippled. So you gotta make sure you have an equal yoke. And it's funny because we don't really deal with that in modern times, but all the Bible people, they know, yeah, you gotta have an equal yoke. But here Paul uses this as an example. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The answer is obviously none. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now people get confused, Brett. Should we never talk to unbelievers and sinners in the world? Well, that's not what this is saying. You can be like Jesus. Remember, everywhere Jesus went, he hung out with publicans and sinners and prostitutes. But here's the difference. Jesus changed them. Every time they came and hung out with Jesus, they got saved, repented of their sins, and he wasn't just hanging out, you know, with prostitutes. That wasn't his thing. He was hanging out with sinners who became repentant, and we should all endeavor to do that, of course. And we'll work with people, and you can be friends with people that are unsaved. That's not what this is saying. But the idea of yoking yourself, connecting yourself, that's where it gets dangerous. Let me give you a few examples. Maybe you go into a business deal. That's a yoke. When you make a partnership in business and you go into business, man, if I had a dime for every time somebody went into business with an unbeliever only to regret it, because, you know, as time goes by and as the business is more and more successful, pretty soon things start popping out that there's a moral difference, ethical difference, spiritual difference in the way you want to run the company and the business. And if you're yoked with an unbeliever, how many times has that gone south? But business is one thing. Even worse still, what about marriage? You've seen this where people are unequally yoked in marriage. And it happens when that young girl loves that guy. Oh, he's just a great guy. And Pastor Brett, he's hot. So he's not a Christian, you know, whatever, but he's a really nice guy. And I think he's gonna be a Christian. So what are you doing? Missionary dating? That's what I call it. You're missionary dating. Bad idea, bad idea. He'll always be behind you spiritually if you're finding some guy that's not saved. That's ridiculous. Don't do that. Brad, what do you know about this? A lot. I've done over 1,000 weddings. I've done more than that marriage counseling over the last 35 years or whatever. You got to understand, I'm kind of an expert on this one. I really am. There's very few people who have spent as much time talking about this with people as maybe me. And I'm telling you, there's so many people. I bet you there's more than 100 people in this room right now who would say, listen to Pastor Brett. Because being married to someone who's unequally yoked with them, they're a non-believer, you're a believer, it doesn't seem like any big deal when you're 21. But when you're 31 and you have kids and you want them to go to church on Christmas Eve because that's what you do, but he'd rather you go to the imam downtown and go down into the mosque. What, Brett, that doesn't happen. Just happened a couple weeks ago. Talked to a lady, her husband, she thought he was gonna make the move to be a Christian, but he made the move to become a Muslim. Unequally yoked gets pretty serious. Even if he's not that, maybe it's not, you know, that he's a Muslim. Maybe he's in the NFL more than Sunday morning. And so you just want to go to church and he just wants to stay home. And he kind of likes it when the kids are home. So honey, you can go to church, but leave the kids home. Yeah, but we want to raise our kids in godly ways. And I'm not really interested in that. And it becomes a massive point of contention in your marriage. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, that's when it gets tough in marriage, when you can't walk together because you disagree. And that's why Paul gives this somber warning. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't link yourself with unbelievers, but find someone who's an equal yoking. For what communion does light have with darkness? The answer is none. And that's the point. To have a walk with God, you got to remember, the Lord says, you know, Paul says earlier in Corinthians, what? Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Here in this verse, he says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. The Lord wants to have a walk with you. But if you have darkness in your life and you're yoked to darkness, don't be shocked if you sense that God's not really in your life like he once was. Because what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's what this verse is saying. It's an important part of your walk is to dump the sin. D.L. Moody, he made a simple but really important comment. He said, if I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. And that's just true. It's one way or the other. If I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. Now, some of you might say, okay, it's all right. I walk with God, and I guess we need to do it, sort of. Why should you want to walk with God? What's the big deal? Well, this came very early in the Bible. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Lord says, here's what you get when you walk with me. And he says in Deuteronomy 5:30, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it might be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Does that sound like some good stuff? Like the good repercussions of walking with the Lord. First of all, that you may live. That's speaking, I believe, of eternal life. But not only eternal life, but abundant life here and now, that it might be well with you. The Lord Jesus came and says, I've come not that you just, you know, have eternal life, that too, but life and life more abundantly. That's what the Lord wants. And then prolonging the days in the land which you shall possess. That means prosperity is what's talking about. The Lord says, man, if you walk with me, long life, eternal life, abundant life. Man, that's a good thing. So here in this little verse, we realize the first thing that a Christian needs, if they want to have a walk with the Lord, you need to be set apart. You've got to be careful to make sure and live that sanctified Christian life. And that brings us to point number two, not only a sanctified walk, but secondly, you need a submitted walk. That is where you submit to God. This is important because if you don't have a submitted walk, then you are not agreeing with God. Let me put it this way. Here is a kind of a cause and effect in this idea of submitting to God and walking with God. The cause, there must be agreement, we know from our text, there must be agreement if you are going to walk together with God. The effect, you will walk with him when you are in agreement. This doesn't mean, listen, that God will come over and agree with you. You and I have to go over to his side and agree with him. God does not change. One of my favorite old Blind Willie Johnson Delta Blues songs, he's God. God don't never change. And it's true. God does not change. You're the one who has to change. I love it, like in the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was said, you know, we got to pray that God is on our side. And Abraham Lincoln corrected the young man and said, we shouldn't pray that God is on our side. We should pray that we are on God's side. Not God on our side, we're on God's side. Big difference. And if you want to have a walk with God, you got to agree. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? No, but to agree means you and I have to change and agree with him. And that's where this submission comes in. And Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 kind of explains that. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That's the key. We need to walk in his ways. And where do we have his commandments? Right here in his word. The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. So if you want to have a walk with God, you just do what he says and submit yourself to him.
Pastor Breadmatter has been beautifully illustrating how just as two people can't walk together unless they share the same direction, we cannot walk with God unless we align with his will. And you're listening to Today's Word. I invite you to stay right there as Pastor Brett will join me here in a moment. But first, Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church in the Portland, Oregon area, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. We invite you to find out more about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church by going to todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett is with me now. Brett, we've talked before about how music is such a big part of your life. Growing up, was your family involved in music, or did you get involved in a different way?
Well, in my house growing up, my mom and dad, they are not musical, but they always had music going on, praise music in the background. I'd come home from school, and my mom would be there waiting for us with a little snack, but there'd always be praise music going on in the background. And I just, from a very early age, loved music. And my dad had a little old guitar laying around, and I picked that up. And my sisters played the piano and sang. And we just became, me and my sisters would sing at the Salvation Army, and we'd sing at the gospel mission in downtown with the homeless and sing in church. And, you know, and then now my family, both my daughter and son, they lead worship here at Athey because it's just kind of who we are.
Well, I have to tell you, I do love the worship music at Athey, and it's really great to see your family a big part of that. Thank you, Brett. Well, one last time, I want to mention that if you'd like more information about Pastor Brett or Athey Creek Church, you can just go to our website at todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett describes Amos's clear challenge for believers to leave behind disobedience and pursue spiritual agreement with God. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.